But we will be in Matthew 21. It should be on the screen here shortly to follow along. But Matthew 21, I'm going to read through verses 1 through 11. And what I'm going to talk about this morning, and Billy talked about, you know, this is Palm Sunday. This is the triumphal entry. This is a Sunday that Jesus, you know, rode into Jerusalem and proclaimed himself the king. You know, and really, we call it triumphal entry, but it's kind of a somber day, especially if you think about it from Jesus' perspective, because he knew what was going to happen at the end. And we'll kind of talk about that this morning. But we're going to be in Matthew 21. And I encourage you, if you have your Bible or you know, open it up or turn it on if you have the app, but the verses I'll read will be on the screen. Matthew 21, verses 1, we'll read here first. When they approached Jesus, when they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage at the Mount of Olives, Jesus then sent two disciples, telling them, "Go into the village ahead of you. At once you will find a donkey tied there and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you should say that the Lord needs them, and immediately he will send them." This took place so that what was spoken through the prophet might be fulfilled. "Tell daughter Zion, see your king is coming to you, gentle and mounted on a donkey, even on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden." The disciples went and did just as Jesus directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, and they laid their robes on them, and he sat on them. A very large crowd spread their robes on the road. Others were cutting branches from the trees and spreading them on the road. Then the crowds went ahead of him, and those who followed kept shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven." When he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was shaken, saying, "Who is this?" And the crowd kept saying, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee." Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you this morning for the opportunity to gather with our church family. We thank you that we have this record of your son's entry into Jerusalem and what it means for us. And Lord, we as Christians, we celebrate what happens at the end of this week. And we celebrate what happens when he comes out of that tomb and what that means for each and every one of us in our salvation. But Lord, we look at today's passage and we look at today's words and realize the heart Jesus had for each and every one of us. We look at that and realize how much he loved us. And Lord, as we go through these verses, show that to us. And Lord, if there's ones here today that need to realize they need that love in their life fully, Lord, that they would make that decision today. Lord, even as we take the Lord's Supper today, just that remembrance of what he did for us, his broken body and that spilled blood for our sins. And we thank you so much for that. And Lord, we just pray all these things in your son Jesus' name. Amen. So like I said before, we see this great picture of Jesus coming into Jerusalem. And Jerusalem was kind of a buzz to begin with because this was Passover. And this was a big deal for Jews, as we know, because this was the festival that they celebrated because when they were brought out of Egypt. You know, this was the time when that final plague and God passed over their house and took that firstborn of Egypt. And so they celebrate this every year. So Jerusalem was a little bit fuller than normal. They had more people here. And there was just more of an excitement already because of this festival. And here comes Jesus riding in. And you know, he starts out, he sends these two disciples ahead to go find this donkey and to fulfill that prophecy. And I want to kind of look at that prophecy, and you can kind of write this down if you want and look at these later. And I encourage you to look at all these verses that I go through today. And most of these verses I go through today, this is the only story, this is the only account in all that happens in all four Gospels. They talk about in all four Gospels this triumphal entry. Now, there's a little bit of differences in what they tell and those kind of things, but it happens in all four Gospels. But I'm going to turn over into Zechariah first, because this is where the prophecy is. 9:9, chapter 9, verse 9. "Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout in triumph, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king is coming to you. He is righteous and victorious, humble and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." So they would know this verse. The people that study scripture, they would know that this is a sign that here is the Messiah. Here is the one that has come to save us. But we'll see here in a little bit, they missed it. I'm going to also look at Isaiah 62, verse 10, and they could, the writer of Matthew could also be kind of pointing to this verse as well. Well, it says, or verse 11, sorry, it says, "Look, the Lord has proclaimed to the end of the earth. Say to daughter Zion, look, your salvation is coming. His reward is with him. His recompense is before him." So his work is before him. Jesus' work was still before him this week. All his ministry had led up to this point. And as we would look at Jesus' life up to this point, you know, he had healed people. He had brought people back to life, but he had always told them, don't go tell anybody. Kind of keep this to yourself to this point. Till he was coming into Jerusalem, he didn't stop the people at this point. They were praising him. They were, you know, worshiping him as he went into Jerusalem. And even the Pharisees, this kind of made him mad. And if you look at the other accounts, and if you look into Luke, I believe he talks, you know, the Pharisees tell them to stop. Verse 39 in chapter 19 of Luke, it says, some of the Pharisees from the crowd told him, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." He answered him and said, "I tell you, if they were to keep silent, the stones would cry out." He's come to the point in his ministry where he's ready to expose who he truly is. His disciples had followed him all this time, and they knew who he was. They had figured out who he was. Now, they didn't quite fully understand what was going to happen at the end of this week. They understood he was the Messiah, but they were still under the understanding that he was going to be this mighty warrior that was going to come and defeat the Romans and save them from that oppression of the Romans. And many of the people that were along the sides of the street were thinking the same thing. Here's our king. Here's the one that's going to come and save us from the Romans. But that's not what he was coming for. That's not what his purpose was. And there was probably a shock as we look and as we see Jesus ride in on this donkey, this colt. Now that would have been common for that time for kings to ride in on a donkey, but that was during times of peace. During times of, you know, there wasn't any war going on. You know, the Romans, they had their armies, they had their swords and their shields and their armor, and they rode in on their horses and they looked victorious when they came into the city. But here was Jesus on a donkey. He was coming to change. He was letting the people know that he was king. He had that right. He was the only one that had that right. They were correct in telling. You know, in Luke, it says, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord." That's who Jesus was. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. That's who Jesus was. But also, we have to understand where Jesus' heart was this week. And as he comes into the city, and these verses, as I studied this week and as I looked, and, you know, these verses just kind of rolled around in my head and but if we look in Luke chapter 19, verses 41, so this is, if we think about where Jerusalem, where it's at, Bethpage and Bethany kind of set above it. So that's where he started out at. So he was kind of higher and he was descending into Jerusalem. So he could see the city. So in verses 41, it says, as he approached, he saw the city. So he could see over it. He wept over it, saying, "If you knew this day, what would bring peace? But now it is hidden from your eyes. For the days will come on you when your enemies will build an embankment against you, surrounded you, and hem you in on every side. They will crush you and your children within you to the ground, and they will not leave one stone on another in you, because you did not recognize the time of your visitation." They didn't recognize. Yes, there was a great crowd. Yes, there was this great crowd that came out to see Jesus come into the city as a king. But even though in those verses that we read into Matthew, what'd they call him? Who was this person? Is Jesus the prophet? They didn't recognize him as the king. And what did it do to the Pharisees? It bugged the whatever out of them, because he was taking people away from them. They didn't recognize who he truly was. They didn't recognize here was the king that they had been waiting for. Here was the Messiah that they had been waiting for. And here Jesus prophesies that coming in the future, Jerusalem was going to be destroyed. The Romans would come and encircle the city and piece by piece destroy it and take it apart and kill the people inside because of what was going to happen this week, because of what they were going to do to Jesus, because they missed who he was. That divine judgment was going to happen. We see that. Jesus predicts it here, and we see that in the future. Jesus wept over that because his heart was for the people. He didn't want that to happen. He wanted people to realize who he was. He didn't want to have to come in on a war horse and conquer the city. He wanted people to worship him for who he was and for the love he had for each and every one of them, the love he has for each and every one of us. You know, that's why he doesn't come in and conquer our lives. He comes in with love and peace. You know, that's why when we witness to people, you know, we don't come at them with a club. We come at them with love. Sometimes it feels like that we come at them harshly, and sometimes they think that we're coming at them harshly because we talk about their sin and we talk about hell, which is all real, but we do that out of love. We do that with care and concern, just like Jesus had for the people of Jerusalem at this time, as he could see. You know, I could just imagine, and maybe we've been in that situation, but as you walk through a crowd of people, and maybe they're patting you on the back and congratulating you for something, but you just know they have it in for you. That's where Jesus was at. He knew this crowd, yes, they're cheering for him, and they're happy he's there, but he also knew at the end of the week that same crowd was going to be yelling, "Crucify him, crucify him." The same ones. He knew that the disciples that were behind him that knew that he was the Messiah, that knew who he was, but didn't quite understand it yet, that would soon, would scatter, and he would be alone. He'd be alone, and you know, to have that feeling and to be in that position is hard to understand, because he knew where their hearts were at. But he still did it anyway. At this point, you know, he could have vanished and gone somewhere else and had nothing to do with it. But he knew this is where his Father had sent him. He knew this is where he was supposed to be at. So he went on. He traveled on. And where was the first stop that he made? If you look in Matthew, back in Matthew, verse 12, Jesus went into the temple. He didn't go to the palace. He didn't go sit on the throne. He went to the temple. He went to his Father's house. He went to his rightful place. And he drove out all those buying and selling in the temple. He overturned the money changers' table and the chairs of those selling doves. And he said to them, "It is written, 'My house will be called a house of prayer.' But you are making it a den of thieves." The very first place he went to was the temple. They thought he was coming to be a political revolutionary and to change everything and to wipe out the Romans. He was coming to change things, but it wasn't that. He was coming to change that religious setting. He was coming to change the thoughts of those religious people. He was coming to overturn that idea that this to be good on the outside was good enough. That if you checked all the boxes that you would make it to heaven. He came to save us. He came to say that the only way to heaven was through him and that faith in him. That he died on the cross for you and me. That is the only way that our debt can be paid. It's through him. He came to overturn those tables. And even today, as we look at our own lives, and as we study Scripture, and as we think of things that maybe we think should be this way, or we read it this way, I think the more that we study Scripture, I think the more that Jesus overturns those tables in our own lives. Maybe there's things that we learned when we were children, or even as adults, that if we truly, you know, study Scripture and ask God to reveal Scripture to us, He overturns those tables. He makes us realize that it's not about the things that we do on the outside. It's not about how we look. It's not about church attendance. It's not about dressing up. It's about, where's our heart? Where's our heart for Him? Where's our heart for others? Why do we come here on a Sunday morning? Why do we come here just to sit? Do we just come here to sing songs and hear a good message? Or do we come here to praise a God that loves us so much that He sent His only Son? Do we come here to praise the Son that rode in on a donkey, a lowly donkey, so that He could die on a cross for each and every one of us? You know, it's fitting this morning as we look at, you know, I would encourage you to continue to look at these verses the rest of the week as He went through the rest of the week, the Holy Week, and, you know, He ended with that Passover meal. That's kind of where that end weeks before He's arrested and taken off and crucified. And today we're going to take the Lord's Supper. And that's kind of where it starts, you know, that idea of, here's my body, here's my blood. It's going to be broken and spilled for you. And we'll have this time of invitation, and just like we do on those days, you'll have that opportunity to come forward. And I'll turn it over here to Scott in a second after I pray, but you have a decision this morning. You know, are you going to be like those Pharisees and say, nah, I don't want anything to do with this, and kind of shut it off and realize that there is a judgment to come. Just like Jesus predicted, that there is a judgment for all of us. But if we don't know who He is, that judgment is hell. Destruction. Or are we going to realize that there still is time? There still is time to accept that and to realize that He's not here to change the face of the political world. He's here to change our hearts. He's here to change our minds. He's here to change our lives to a life that resembles Him. So as we think about that, as we go into this time of the Lord's Supper, you have a chance to respond. If you don't know Christ this morning, please respond. Grab a deacon, grab Scott, grab me, whoever, and pray that you would understand this better. Maybe you don't understand all of it, but you have to start somewhere. He's revealed Himself to all of us. We have no excuse. He is the King, and He wants to be the King for you and me. Let's pray. Dear Father, I thank You for this morning. I thank You for the opportunity to preach Your words. And Lord, as we look at this triumphal entry, and Lord, how somber it really is, Lord, that Your Son revealed Himself, that Your Son revealed Himself as that King, that Savior for all. But the people of Jerusalem missed it. They didn't see it. They were looking for something else. Something else that they wanted. But Lord, He was there. And Lord, the same goes for us this morning. He is right in front of us. He is wanting us to accept Him as His King. And Lord, I pray that, Lord, if there's ones here today, that they will take this opportunity to accept Him as their Lord and Savior. Lord, that there's still time before He comes back again to call His believers home, that there's still time to make that dedication of life to You. And Lord, we just thank You so much for those opportunities. We thank You so much for sending Your Son to die on that cross for each and every one of us. And Lord, we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.